Blog Talk Radio.
You are now connected to the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Taking on 2,000 years of indoctrination, 2 hours at a time.
Sink or swim, deep end information.
Asking questions no one else will.
Parabiblical research, spiritual technology, personal empowerment.
Be your own guru.
Master your own ascension.
Guide your own spirit.
And now, showing you how, the Christian whistleblower, Jeffrey Dardy.
Well, hello and welcome. I'm Jeffrey Dardy. Glad to have you with me here today as we finish up on Paul's end time follies. We've talked this week about the rapture wreck. We've talked this week about how the father of the rapture really was a father, a Jesuit priest, to be exact. And we talked about how he pioneered futurism in the 16th century, and then a Pentecostal lady in John Darby's churches in the 19th century in Scotland kind of watered it a little bit, and then the Scofield Reference Bible in the 20th century, and of course Nicolas Cage here in the 21st, along with a lot of other silly and ridiculous money-making attempts at reviving and continuing the rapture foolishness. But at any rate, today we finish up, for now, to be sure, on Paul's invention of the whole school of eschatology, which of course means we made stuff up to distract you from the Greek. It doesn't really mean that. It means study of the end times. But quite literally it is, we made stuff up to distract you and try to keep you from reclaiming or ascending, however you want to look at it. But here we are, you know, coming straight to you the way we always do, the un-indoctrination station, and we just give it to you straight. That's kind of what we do. And again, we talked about how Paul, you know, planted the seed and others watered. And of course, we finish up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talking about some of these things that Paul has created and the implications of them, because even though Paul created them, and he undoubtedly did create them, you also have to realize that they were inspired and given to him by that same entity that called him on the road from Damascus to Antioch. And we can, you know, debate and discuss who that entity was, but Yeshua very clearly identified that entity as an adversary or Satan, and he, you know, made it clear that it was the Lord. So what we're talking about is the Lord, the capital L-O-R-D, Lord. He's the guy that really invented all of this. Excuse me. He's the guy that fed it to Paul. And he's the guy that is empowering and promoting this agenda. And it's pretty easy to see when you look at the Pauline picture that's been painted. You know, it's a picture of the Lord being, of course, front and center. And, you know, we always try to talk a little bit about Religion Watch Daily. There's a nice article there about the 6 modern-day Christian terrorist groups that you never hear about. You know, we do hear a lot about Islamic terrorist groups. And it's a good reminder that Islam, Judaism, Christianity, all from the same stock. So the fact that there is a group, you know, more than one Christian terrorist groups, is certainly something to think about. Of course, September 23rd, 2015, Satan will receive reign over the world. Again, more end time fright, and that's again stuff we're talking about today. But you know, I was struck by, as we read more and more about this Pope, and moving on to the JD Daily tab on the website, jeffreydaugherty.com, christianwhistleblower.com, I have to wonder just what this current Pope is up to. He seems to be a mystery wrapped in an enigma. I mean, one day he seems like an innovator. The next day he seems like a conservative stalwart. You know, he talks about apologizing to native peoples and then, you know, advances the canonization to a saint of one of the biggest butchers of indigenous peoples in the history of the Catholic Church. And let me tell you something, to be one of the biggest butchers of indigenous peoples in the Catholic Church, you got to be a really big butcher, because Roman Catholicism, and for that matter, Roman Protestantism, has a long and storied history of butchering indigenous peoples. But, you know, one thing for sure about Francis is he is not letting any grass grow under his feet. It seems to me that he's appealing more to non-Catholics or to marginal Catholics, while making his faithful a little bit nervous at times. And one can't help but wonder, at least this one can't help but wonder, as he completes his tour of South America, heads back to Rome, if something extraordinary is not brewing somehow. Now, I don't mean supernatural, at least truly supernatural, but it seems that Francis may well have something up his very ample sleeve. You know, sometimes he's got those puffy sleeves on, and who knows what he's got up those sleeves. But very interesting stuff, none the least, and we should probably keep our eyes open in expectation. And that leads us very, very smoothly into what we want to talk about today. Because if you look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, now you're talking about a scenario where Paul has said that the Lord Himself, and there's, you know, no wonder or no shortage of clarity there that it is the Lord, and it's the capital L-O-R-D, Lord. It's the Lord in the exclusively Jewish sense. So we are talking about the Lord. The Lord Himself descends from heaven with a shout, with the trumpet call of God, with the voice of the archangel. Obviously very, very militaristic. And again, that tips us off that it is the Lord, even if, and this is a distinct possibility, as I talk about these things being foolish and made up, and they are, but they could very well be setting the stage for false flag occurrences. So if we do see an event that looks like the rapture, and if it looks like a figure of what we think of Jesus as being, keep in mind that it will still be the Lord. He'll just be pretending and faking and camouflaging himself as Jesus. And you think I'm crazy, but just stay with me. Not today, not next week, not the week after probably, but we will get to absolute, undeniable, biblical proof that the Lord will, in fact, disguise himself as Jesus and attempt a false flag, faked second coming. Of course, Yeshua said, not going to be any second comings, not going to be any outward signs, not going to be any great events. Outward, kingdom of heaven already here in your hearts. Wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. Wicked Roman Catholicism, rampant with pedophilia. Adulterous Roman Protestantism, rampant with adultery. So they are the wicked and adulterous generation that is seeking after and promoting signs. But you've got the Lord Himself descending from heaven with a shout. Trump of God, call of the archangel. And then the dead in Christ will rise first. We talked about that, zombies in heaven, corpses of Christ coming out of the graves. And for at least 3.5 to 7 years, depending upon your theology, they'll still be corpses, because Paul says we don't get changed. We, being the operative term, because he thought he'd be involved, aren't changed until the last trump. The mortality doesn't put on immortality till the last trump. the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 trump is arguably the first one. And we know there's at least six more in the book of Revelation. So, man, that's going to be a long 3.5 years, a long 7 years. And, you know, we joke and say, for those of you that are cognizant of Walking Dead lore, oh, God, please let Rick and Daryl and Maggie and Glenn make the rapture so they can help us with those zombies in heaven. But moving past that, and it's hard to move past such an outright ludicrosity, I understand and agree with you. But moving past that, if we can, the dead in Christ, the Lord has descended in a great display of militarism. The corpses in Christ, the zombies, are now in heaven with the Lord. And then we who are alive and remain, Paul says, are caught up together with them, the zombies in heaven, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Now, I'm very struck by the imagery that's painted here. And I'm very, very struck by the idea that is very, very possible here, because there are 1 billion Protestants. And just about every one of those 1 billion believes in the pre-tribulation rapture, that the rapture is the next great event to happen on planet Earth. You know, you've seen the movies, the airplanes crashing because the pilots are gone, cars crashing because the drivers are gone, you know, empty sets of clothing, all of that stuff. They believe that's the next thing that's going to happen. There's almost 1 billion of them that believe that. And as I take a little sip of my fresh daily coffee, and there are, by conservative estimates, at least 250,000 Catholics and growing that believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. And then you throw in the Nicolas Cage fans, and you've got, you know, nearly 2 billion people believing in it. So how many more have heard of this pre-tribulation rapture and might accept a rapture scenario? Think of this, folks. You could get rid of about 1 billion people, and no one would twinkle an eye even for an instant. You could get rid of 1 billion people like that, and just about no one would bat an eye, and a lot of the people that were gone would be embracing the trip on the way. It's the perfect stage for a false flag depopulation event. If you know anything about anything as regards the New World Order and as regards the psychopaths and sociopaths that are controlling this planet, you know, from Bill Gates to the very, you know, most hidden of the most hidden, they're all promoting depopulation. Just get on the internet, type in depopulation quotes, and see what you come up with. It'll blow your mind. It'll literally blow your mind. You won't believe what you're reading. So there's a tremendous push towards depopulation, not just in the United States, but across the whole world. And could you imagine an event like this? Now, if I'm a depopulation person, put yourself in the place of these psychopaths and these controllers. They're really mainly, I think, sociopaths. Well, they're probably both, if that's possible, but you know, they don't have empathy, they don't have any real emotion, but yet a lot of their actual actions are psychopathic. So, but put yourself in the mind of these people. We want to get rid of about at least half, I think, maybe 75%, depending upon who you listen to, of the current, say, 8 billion people on the planet, maybe 7 billion. If you could get rid of 1 billion, that's over 10% of your problem in one fell swoop. That's got to be something that you would consider. And if you're the Lord, moving from the human psychopath to the supernatural psychopath, if you're the Lord, you have set this table for, lo, now these 2,000 years, and you could use this scenario to wipe out a billion people, get a more controllable population, and even better, have them look to you and view you as Jesus, quote unquote, and set the table for your great end time 3.5 years later, 7 years later, false flag, where you actually can come back and be received as Jesus, as a conquering hero, and have the entire planet raise you up to the place of being the God King once again, the thing that you tried in Genesis a couple times and blew it. But it's the perfect stage for a false flag event. The table's all set. You know, the Lord could fake that he's Jesus and control the earth. And he's not coming back to set up a democracy, you know. You know, these folks that are praying for the Lord to come back, he's not coming back to set up a democracy. It's a, at best, benevolent dictatorship, and it's only benevolent as long as you stay on his side. And the one world government, you know, goes square with, you know, the autocratic, oligarchic type of a human, as well as the supernatural, as far as it being the Lord scenarios. Now, a lot of people also talk about an extraterrestrial, ET, UFO type of a invasion or a second coming type of event. You know, that is very possible. But if you see an event that is like Independence Day, or if you see an event that is like a threat from another world, if you see an event that lines up with how Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton were talking about it, if you see an event that looks like malevolent aliens coming back to kill, conquer, and destroy, that's not the Lord. That would be a governmental false flag used by, you know, perpetrated by holograms, perpetrated by technology that we're not aware of. You know, outside possibility that it's a alien species that our government has entered into agreements with, but I sincerely doubt that, because if I'm an outside alien species, again, put yourself in their place, and they want to come here and conquer this world, why would they bother to cloak their arrival or to cloak their taking over event in human religious tapestries? They wouldn't give a damn about trying to line up with our religious sensibilities. They just come in here and take the place over. So if you see that type of an event, aliens coming in here to take the place over, and they're successful, then maybe it was aliens. They just took it over. If you see this event, you know, like a War of the Worlds where our great government beats them back, you can bet your bottom dollar, ruble, or pound that it is a governmental false flag helping to depopulate and to set up a one world government. Because there's no reason that ETs that would want to control us would set up any type of a religious type of scenario that we're talking about. But if they're the ETs that want to farm us and utilize us, you know, as food, they could fake a second coming, set up a rule that looks like it's Jesus when it's really an ET. So that's a possibility as well. But one thing you know for sure is it's not really Jesus. It's either a event, false flag event staged by the Lord or staged by the government to look like it's Jesus. It's not going to be Jesus either way. It's holographic technology. It's a crisis. It's a manufactured crisis. It's something to allow mass depopulation and consolidation of the peoples of the earth, either under the Lord, the maniacal, sociopathic, psychopathic, fallen God, or under human governments that are controlled by him, or possibly under a alien species that seeks to control us, utilize us, feed off us, and wants to hide their coming in religious guise. I could see that happening. But if they're just coming here to take us over, they'll just come take us over. They don't care about our religious sensibilities. But the bottom line, folks, is it's all Pauline BS. Paul invented this plastic Jesus, and Paul invented this plastic Jesus and his plastic return. To be more accurate, the Lord had Paul invent plastic Jesus, and the Lord continues to drive through Pauline religion, turn of the plastic Jesus. Bottom line, folks, it's all fake. And one of the reasons and one of the ways that you know that it's all fake is because it is because of the ubiquitous nature of the second coming idea. Here's a little clue. In today's world, when everybody knows something, when everybody believes something, when it's so plain that you have to be stupid not to believe it, those are the type of things that we need to learn to question. Something that's ubiquitous, something that everybody knows is true, you've got to get to the place where you start asking questions and questioning answers. Because in Egypt, that spiritual Egypt where we all follow along because we're slaves, in Egypt, everybody knows, everybody accepts. Outside of Egypt, where there's intelligent and awake people, they ask questions and they question answers. So the fact that everybody accepts, everybody believes, everybody knows there's going to be a second coming of Jesus, that should cause you to question it. And to make it just a little bit more confusing and a little more fun, there will be a second coming of Jesus, but it's a plastic Jesus and has nothing to do with Yeshua. And if we just would listen to the man from Nazareth himself, if he existed, but we can at least listen to his message, because we know that existed. And he said, look, there's not going to be any outward signs. Only a wicked and adulterous generation seek for a sign. If we would just listen to the words of Yeshua, we wouldn't be drawn away and caught up in all this foolishness. But unfortunately, it seems like that's just too much to ask for people to just listen to Yeshua and believe what he says. So here we are, and it gives me a job, right, to get out here and explain it to you and give you the information and let you do that which you will with it. But Jeffrey, the rapture, the second coming, those are foundational doctrines of the Christian religion. They are foundational doctrines of the Christian religion. I agree with you. But they're foundational doctrines of what? Why was this foundational doctrine ignored by the apostles of Yeshua until AD 66, if it's so foundational? James in AD 47, writing the first book of the New Testament, didn't mention it. But if it's so foundational, why didn't James mention it? Mark, writing in AD 57, second book of the New Testament written by the apostles of Yeshua, didn't mention it. If it's so foundational, why didn't he mention it? First Peter, written in AD 60, he didn't mention it either. Luke, AD 63, nope. Meanwhile, Paul blurts it out in his very first writing. Again, we saw that he was trying to create a distraction from the chastisement by the apostles. So it's very plain to see. It's only a foundational doctrine of Pauline religion. The rapture, the second coming, the tribulation, these are all foundational doctrines only of the futuristic Pauline Roman Catholic and Roman Protestant religions. The original faith of Yeshua and the apostles is strictly and exclusively historic in nature and in relation to the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, prophecy. Get that in your mind. Remember that. Hold on to that. Yeshua and the apostles were 100% exclusively historical in their view of prophetic writings. In other words, it's all already happened. Pauline religion, be it Roman Catholic or Roman Protestant, and to some extent Judaism and Islam, even though they aren't Pauline, they're still Lord-based, they are exclusively futuristic. Why? Because we know that the futurism school had to be created to take the pressure off the identification of Pauline religion as the seed of Antichrist, not pin the tail on the Antichrist, who's it going to be, but against Christ or against the teachings of Yeshua doctrine. It really is quite simple if you allow it to be. Paul invent the second coming doctrine. Yes, he did. Just think how it's used. It's used as a stick. I mean, really, in Pauline religion, Jesus is kind of like Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better not shout. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Because Jesus Christ is coming back on down. That's who he is. In Roman Catholic religion, especially, in Roman Protestant religion, he's a little bit different. He's more of the buddy Jesus, the Jesus with the big carrot. Hold on, I'm coming back to save you. So you get either stick Jesus, who's like Santa, bringing a whooping with him when he comes, so you better get right, or you've got carrot Jesus saying, just hold on and I'm coming with your mansions. But either way, they both feed fear. They both breed obedience. They both breed compliant serfs and sheep. And, of course, they weed out any rams. And just to put a final point on this, Yeshua said in Luke chapter 17, the kingdom's already here. It's already in you. It doesn't come with outwardly observable acts. Yeshua says, come on up. Pollyannity says, wait for him to come back down because you're incapable of coming up. Folks, that puts as fine a point on it as we possibly can. We'll be back next week with more of the Christian Whistleblower Show. And until then, I'm Jeffrey Daugherty. And as always, I'm wishing you peace and enlightenment.
Stay connected with the Christian Whistleblower at www.christianwhistleblower.com. On Facebook, follow Jeffrey Daugherty and Jeffrey Daugherty Show, and on Twitter at NC Kabbalah. Visit ChristianWhistleblower.com today to learn how to create yourself and to live the life you'll love.